So, Prince died. You know who Prince is? You know, you do? You know who Justin Bieber is? Taylor Swift? Oh, the guys are now smiling. Prince died. And even in India, Michael Jackson, Prince. Yeah. So I was listening to a coverage of him on NPR. And I was intrigued by one of the commentators talking about his song, Purple Rain. How many of you know that? How many of you heard about that, right? Those of you who grew in the 80s, I'm sure your heart skips a beat. Now, there are many explanations about the meaning of his song, Purple Rain, and there are as many explanations as there are websites about him. But the commentator understood Purple Rain as a love song. And it's his understanding that Prince sings the song, and in the song he's expressing his devotion to a girl. And the commentator said that when Purple Rain was released, he said he could not wait for his heart to be broken so he could sing Purple Rain. Now that's devotion, right? I want something, I identify with this celebrity so much and I want to feel like him. I don't mind my heart being broken. Now, I don't get it, but that's how he feels. Now, this whole phenomenon called fan frenzy, I find it very intriguing. Very intriguing. You can go to any place and the celebrity doesn't even have to be there. But the moment you mention Justin Bieber, sometimes just mention the name Tyler, and people go screaming. You've seen it, right? People are just nuts about this. It's like people have a personal relationship with the celebrity. And the funny thing is they don't. But you have this feeling in you that, you know, you know these people. And I find fan frenzy intriguing for many reasons. Now, one of them is, I wonder why Christians cannot be as excited about Jesus as fans are about their celebrities. Especially when I speak with 8th grade confirmation kids, one of the things that I tell them is the very mention of the name Jesus should do something to you here. It's like you should want to scream because you connect so deeply. So I've always had this little sentence with the 8th grade confirmation classes. He said, is Jesus your hero? Someone you idolize, somebody you want to, you know, personally live like in your life, because everybody tries to be like these celebrities. But the other reason that I'm very curious about fan frenzy are the kind of passages that we have in today's gospel reading. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so should you love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And the question that I'm asking myself is, and I'm asking you is, do these words affect us in the same way that Purple Rain affected that news commentator? So that's what I'm trying to reflect on this morning. And I have 3 points for you, as usual. First of all, this command, I'm calling it the unconditional command, right? Jesus was God, and he lived, he stood for, and he died for something. We all agree on that, right? He died for something. And that something, if we read the Gospels, is about God's unconditional love. He simply wanted God's love and God's grace and God's life to be freely available to all. And he stood and lived and died for that. Now, he didn't have too many fans, but to a small band of followers, he said, "As I have loved you, so should you love one another." And the thing about this commandment is that it's unconditional. In other words, Jesus did not say, "Love one another if they love you back." He didn't say, "Love until the other person attacks you," or "Love as long as you get along." He simply put an unconditional command out there. Jesus didn't write a song about it, but he lived it. So he knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew his disciples would abandon him. But he decides to have a dinner with them the night before. And from the cross, he forgave the very enemies who were actively murdering him. I mean, while he is being killed, he chooses to love unconditionally, and he forgives. Jesus was deliberate, firm, and radical about God's unconditional love. And to those that were following him, he simply said, "As I have loved you, so should you." So the commentator on NPR could not wait for his heart to be broken so he could sing Purple Rain. How eager are we to live Jesus' unconditional command? And the question that rises in my mind is there a correlation between my eagerness to live this command and my relationship with Christ? Is there a correlation? Because if I'm passionate about him, then I'll be passionate about living this unconditional command. So it's a question. I don't have an answer. Is there a correlation between the two? Secondly, I want to address just the reality of life. So we have two realities to deal with. On the one hand, we have this unconditional command, and on the other hand, there's life. There's a cartoon, the Peanuts cartoon that I read once. He said, "I love humanity. It's people I have problems with," right? So we have the unconditional command to love. On the other hand, we have life. It is true that in all of our lives, there are people who challenge our capacity to love. Is that true? In all of our lives. In spite of the best of our intentions, our best efforts, and our deepest love for Christ, relationships go sour. And how do we reconcile these two realities? That's the whole question. I mean, just after this Mass yesterday, after the 4:30 Mass yesterday, I sat and spoke with somebody who was sexually abused as a little child. So, I have quite a few points in the second point. The first thing I want to say is this. It is not God's will that any human person, not one of us, not one person in the world, it's not God's will that any human person should be subjected to racial or ethnic prejudices, to disrespect, to mental, verbal, sexual, or physical abuse, or to violence or injustice. This is simply not God's will. Secondly, if a person is subjected to any form of hate, exploitation, or malice. Every person has the right to shield themselves. What we do not have the option is not to love. God gives us the right to uphold our human dignity. What we do not have the right is to hate. So, I mean, in my own life, there is at least one person in my life to whom I have said, you cannot be in touch with me. You cannot contact me. No phone calls, no emails. No, you just simply cannot. So this one person. There are a few people with whom I'm better off if I keep a distance. However, there are three decisions I've made about these people. First, if the disrespect ceases, I'm committed to resolving the issue through conversations. I'm a big one for let's talk it out. If the disrespect stops, I'll be the first one to talk with you. Secondly, I pray for these people sincerely. That's not one time I will say, dear God, you know, they're expecting a blessing, teach them a lesson. Oh, no. My prayer is always for the people that God bless them. And it's a sincere prayer. I pray that from my heart. And thirdly, I will leave the door wide, wide open for reconciliation. I'm willing to make a move. If they make a move, I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, I'm not talking. So the room for reconciliation if this is left wide open. In other words, I refuse to allow people to walk all over me, period. But I cannot stop loving these very people. Choosing to love when it is difficult is the best allegiance I can show Christ. Because that's why we love Christ, because he loved when it was the hardest. That's what we like about Christ. This is why we have him in every church. And in Catholic churches, we have the crucifix because we know that he loved when it was hardest. So to love when it is hard is the best allegiance I can show to Christ. If Prince or Taylor Swift have fans, Jesus deserves so much better. And thirdly, from personal relationships to the world. So I find today's second reading very hopeful. Jesus envisions a new heaven and a new earth. And that is so attractive to me. The reading ends with the words, I make all things new. And living in a very violent and war-torn world, I cannot wait for a new heaven and a new earth. I just can't wait. Dear God, let it happen today. If today was a day when not a single person died because of violence and hatred, what a great day that would be. Dear God, let there be new heaven and new earth. However, we live in a time of global politics that revolves around economic, cultural, and military domination. That's the reality of the world. Everybody wants to be number one. And everybody can't be number one. So call me an idealist. And if that's what you call me, that'll be okay. But I simply believe that the politics of domination is inconsistent with Christian theology. Simply inconsistent. I'm a firm believer that Christ's teachings are relevant in all circumstances. Like Jesus, I firmly and radically believe that evil can be overcome through conversation, through dialogue, through diplomacy, through love, and not by domination. Global politics and its complexities do not excuse us Christians from the love commandment. In other words, we cannot say that there are some situations in which the love commandment is not applicable. We simply can't say that. To be minimalistic or to be exceptionalist with regard to the love commandment is to minimize the effect of Christ's resurrection. That's the consequence. If I say, God, I know you asked me to love, but man, this is, then I'm saying that Christ's resurrection does not apply. Christ's resurrection is not valid in this area of my life. And that's why I said that this unconditional commandment demands an unconditional response. And sometimes we find ourselves so limited. So the new heaven and the new earth will only happen if Christ and his worldview becomes not just our belief, but our passion. So as we offer this Mass, I'm praying for me and I'm praying for all of us. Dear God, please, as we pray for a new heaven and new earth, let's pray for a new heart. That's possible. Let's pray for a new heart. People of God said, Amen. Amen.